Hello, hello, good morning, good evening. Today we're having a WS call, and thanks for being here today on this Sunday. Hello, good morning. And let's start with, we're in module two now, so everybody's here. Second month, we're just starting with understanding first and second attention, really understanding the neutral mind, and also understanding how we enter the core. And of course, we're beginning to now pull our attention that always goes out, out, out in a linear way into the neutrality, which is really the beginning of living in a meditative mind, in a meditative mind, meaning really being in the natural state, because your meditative mind is your natural state. And in the process, you know, many of you here have a lot of experience. You notice that there'll be sort of moments of transitions where from the linear mind thinking to the meditative natural state is sort of a period of where we're a little bit having a hard time thinking or putting words together, or maybe we're forgetful. Because we're shifting literally from one, you know, vehicle into another, really. That's what it is. Because the mind that is linear is manas, as you know, you repeat these Sanskrit words. There's manas, and then there's buddhi, that's the what we know of as the wisdom mind. And they're so different. They literally function in dynamic movement completely into opposite direction. Manas is always linear, and then buddhi goes inward. So if you're always used to thinking in a linear way, and that's how your energy runs, then suddenly when it kind of you begin to move inwards, then you can't think. And so what happens is that if you think of it like a cross, the linear mind is like a horizontal line, and the buddhi mind is like the vertical line. They overlap, and they're like a cross where there's a point where they overlap is your neutrality. And so in the beginning, you are just sort of, well, let's say you're in your linear mind and you're over a little bit on the right side of the arm of that cross. And then you shift suddenly into buddhi and you're in the vertical alignment. You might not be right in the center. You might be more up or down, and you will feel more spacious, or you will feel very, very grounded and so still that you can't think. So we basically, with more allowing and surrender and just practice, somehow it just sort of organizes itself, and we come to that still point in the middle. And that's our natural state, where we can be inward and in the world. And that's really the practice. That's where, in essence, what we're doing here. We wake up to that point in the middle, that nexus of reality that really is who we are. Some might call it the I Am presence. Maybe we just want to not even call it anything, because beyond even that. So let's do one little breathing together, where we are very simply allowing ourselves to slip into a balanced state where we are more likely to find ourselves in that nexus of reality. And this is the basically, you know, any breathing methods, and you know, there are so many, many yogas, right? And the pranayamas, the prana energy, yama is to restrain. We actually restrain our pranas in a certain way. So let's say in the Western world, where we basically say, you know, it's try to be positive, do some positive thinking. What would somebody do? They would restrain the pranas, the energies that basically make the mind run in a certain direction, right? Let's say, you know, worry or fear or anger or whatever, or even overexcited, too happy, too joyful. And you might think, just on a side note, how can one be too joyful? Joy in the vibrationary scale is below peace. And joy is actually too hot for the heart, actually. So we actually essentially want to move away from joy into peace. Really, we need to, we need to really, really go beyond all of these things and come to really our peaceful, true nature. And it has a bit more to do with peace and bliss than actually joy. So coming back now to this restraining of energies, so we do this sometimes through just, you know, checking in how we think. But we can also do this by allowing ourselves to work with the forces that actually govern us every second of the moment. The prana to the breath itself, because it's so fundamental, because we're breathing all the time. And as we change the breath, the mind changes and how the mind functions. So it's basically a lever or a lever, I think you say lever, where we basically alter things. It's a dial. It's something, it's just that when we turn on, I don't know, the stove or the fridge or something, we basically are engaging with our mechanics, the mechanics of the body, that where there are constantly energies running, and we're basically restraining them and bringing them into a particular direction that is healthy and assists us in self-realization. So, very simple. There are millions of types of pranayamas. Actually, many years ago, I bought a book about some of the secret breathing techniques, and this just was fascinating. There are certain breathing techniques at certain days, certain times, and then you do something else, and then you look into the sky, and then you will see formations of clouds that then reflect back to you something about your time of death, for example. Absolutely amazing, because everything is breath, everything is prana. So you can imagine that we, in the beginning, have this idea that we're this individual that's so separate and we're working with our own energies inside of us. But we're actually engaging, when we do this breathing, with the entire world around us. Everything is affected, and the world around us is our projection. So we can actually, and these are, I think, unnecessary practices, but I'm just giving you an example of the scope and the depth of working with prana and restraining prana and breath. So we're doing something that's very simple, but it's very, very powerful. And I think there are just some a few basic breathings that are really, really key. And some people feel really drawn to breathing. Other people feel more drawn to other kinds of practices. And throughout this course, you might find that you want to explore some of this or that, and, you know, try these things out. And then you might find that at some point you come to the middle of the course and you feel like, you know, I'm going to go back and just focus on this more. This seems really working for me. And that's absolutely fine. So let's just sit relatively straight. And we're going to do Vino Loma, which is nostril breathing. And what we're doing here is doing the Ida and the Pingala, which are two channels, the masculine and the feminine. Ida is the feminine, Pingala is the masculine channel, that are basically crossing over the central channel, the Sushumna. And basically, when they cross over, they create a vortex. And that vortex, we usually know them as the wheels of light, or the chakras in Sanskrit. And we want to have everything balanced. And these the Ida and the Pingala, the lunar and the solar energies, they constantly shift throughout the day. Every 2.5 hours, they shift and move to the others. You could say one is more dominant, and then the other is more dominant. And then one is more dominant, the other is more dominant. And because humans are not a 9-to-5 person or an 8-to-4 person, it's like go, go, go. And then, you know, our artificial rhythms that we are imposed, have been imposed on by our environment, our governments. And we basically try to compensate. And we drink coffee or drink sweets. And then all these irregularities come about in life. Because you think there's something wrong with you when you suddenly feel sleepy. Because in the beginning, when you shift out of the world into your central channel, it feels like you're sleepy, because you become still, neutral, and your mind kind of becomes goes inward. Remember Buddhi, the mind Buddhi, goes inwards. And it's very similar to going to sleep. But in spiritual practice, we go like in the direction of sleep, but then we don't sleep, we wake up. We walk through the door of sleep into awakening. So it's almost like the sleep, the point of sleep where sleep happens is a dream world, right? It's in the astral. We basically don't get caught in the astral. We don't stay there and have another worldly experience, which the astral world is also part of the world. We basically don't get caught there. And with this, all spiritual practice helps us not to get caught in the astral. And the astral is really where we struggle, right? It's the transition from 3D to 5D. It's where it's so emotional, right? It's so like me, and my desires and my aversions. And we live in a world right now where this is completely, it's almost like it's all out there. It's like everybody is, not everybody, I'm saying, many, many people are so caught up in the astral forces, which are so strong and so emotional, that all rational thinking is literally impossible. So we as spiritual yogis, or maybe I'll even say Sufis, people that are really wanting to go through the heart into the truth of who we are, or some people go through the head center more dominantly, and a very few through the belly portal. In essence, once we drop into the Sushumna, into the central channel, we basically learn to remain awake in neutrality. And then when you go and sleep, you also will often dream less. Periodically, you will not dream at all. And then sometimes you might dream again, and you know, things change. And so we want to basically practice right now to just go into neutrality, into this, into making the central channel dominant and allowing the Ida and the Pingala completely to balance out. Yeah. So just kind of take a deep breath in and just breathe out. And just another breath in. And then, when you're ready, just take your right thumb and close your right nostril and breathe in through the left. And then take your little pinky, or the pinky and the ring finger, you can do both if you want, and close the left and breathe out the right. And of course, you breathe in the right and breathe out the left. I know many of you know this already. So breathe in the left and out the right, in the right, out the left. You go back and forth one cycle. You can also put your index finger in, or, you know, whatever works with your hand. Everybody has different lengths of finger. You can also kind of lean towards the third eye. So you have your right thumb closing the right, and I'll just do like three cycles together. Okay, breathe out, close to the right, and in to the left. When you're ready, just put your hand down, just be still for a moment. just notice what happens. If you're somewhat sensitive, you want to notice some kind of shifting of energies or sensations, or just how you feel changes. And let's do three more. We're going to do another cycle. Three. Close your right nostril in three cycles. Just relax again. And as you are noticing, or maybe not everybody is, but if you are noticing anything sort of moving, changing, allow yourself to not touch those sensations, but to just be. That's like when we are just sitting somewhere, looking out the window, and there's people walking on the other side, and there's all this stuff going on. But we remain very uninvolved, but we're completely aware. We don't really follow things too closely, but yet we are aware. We're going to do three more cycles, and this time, because everybody is a bit more still, a bit more balanced, we're going to do the breathing more gently, like more soft. It's almost like you're paying more attention to the extraction of prana almost, although we're not really focusing on it, but there's something just gentle going on. So let's just do this again, closing your right nostril and starting. just take a deep breath when you're done. Just be with what is. Good. So you've probably noticed, some of you, maybe some irregularities in the breathing. Maybe one nostril was more difficult than the other. Maybe one breathing in was more difficult or breathing out. You feel sometimes you don't get enough oxygen. Suddenly it feels like you need to stop and just breathe. All these kind of things are indications of imbalance. So what you would do is you would continue to breathe. And sometimes when the imbalances are really difficult, and you can start more like what we did in the beginning, kind of more stronger, faster in-breath, out-breath on both sides, almost like pushing things through a little bit before we come to the more subtler breathing, where you're going to notice or you challenging subtler corrections. And you can do this for longer period of time. You know, you can do half an hour, 45 minutes really. This is a very safe practice because you're really just balancing yourself, becoming more natural. So let me see if there's anything else here. Yes, when we talk about, now when we come into conversation today, or just when you're hearing me right now, one of the topics here is the first and the second attention. And you are right now much more in your first attention, which is what comes first, you. Yeah, you are here, just silent, present, and you somehow remain as such. It's almost like it's sort of that presence that yours is billowing, you know, through you and into your field, and sort of filling the space around you. So that's sort of, if we want to put an illustration to it. And then at the same time, on the second attention, like, you know, secondary, we have a conversation. You can hear my voice. Your linear mind is processing what I'm saying. Or even you're able to be in your Buddhi mind and you are completely grasping what I'm saying, not in a linear way, but in more of like a package, like a chunk. You take in chunks of information and you are able to, through the self, through who you really are, through the omniscient point that you truly are, you're able to instantly understand what I mean. And there's an inner knowing and understanding that arises. Okay, there's something new here that I haven't really kind of talked about, and I'll just repeat this. And it's not necessary to understand, but you know, I'm speaking to many different levels of understanding here. It's that when we use our linear mind, it's very mechanic. It's literally very 3D, right? But when we come to, when we access more our true nature, we're actually omniscient because we are everywhere. We are everything. And so everything is known. So when we hear something and we are resting in that nexus of reality as the self that we are, it almost like it's like instant recognition or something like that. So the thinking process becomes less, there's less effort. There's less effort. And it's actually it brings light and ease. And it's a bit more nourishing, actually, than, let's say, I don't know, if I went to a lecture somewhere years, you know, decades ago, and I had to listen to somebody for a long time, I'd be tired. At some point, my mind can't process because it's work. It's different now, and I know many of you here, we are functioning a lot in our 5D mind, where we are processing a tremendous amount of information, and it just seems to all happen. It's like our brain has become more like a computer, and which it actually is, right? And so, in other words, it's really more that who we truly are knows things, and we basically bring it to our conscious awareness. So there's a question here in the back by Mari. Let me see if I understand, Mari. What do you mean by the highest causes the lowest feedback loop? Okay, I wonder if you mean, let me know, the highest causes the lowest. What that means is spirit, if you think of it, the highest, the finest vibration, is the original seed of the lowest, which is the material form. Think of it like a triangle. The top, the apex, is basically the original point that then spreads out and manifests in whatever it is. So if the point on top changes, so the highest changes, let's say there's more light, then the manifestation, the creation changes. And that's if that is what, I don't know where I said that. Okay, I'm going to unmute Danielle here. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Rathma. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sit with you today.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Hi, Winona.
Hi, Ratima. Thank you for this. I've really enjoyed the pranayama. I'm getting back to that again. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, that was. Yeah, exactly. So nice.
It really is, yes. And there was a point near the end that I couldn't catch my breath. And I could feel myself thinking I needed to take, you know, like a gasping breath, but I didn't. Like, I stuck mm-hmm. with just the slow breath. And is mm-hmm. That would be the right thing to do, right? Not to.
Yeah. Not yeah. To, you just yeah. continue. Yeah. You force the pranas to shift, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you put pressure inside and restrain, because obviously somewhere the breath is stuck somewhere in the body, right? It's energetically, visually, it would be some blockage somewhere. And you, and as you keep breathing, you know, you pulling that blockage apart, and say, hello, this shouldn't be over there. You need to be over here, right? And you rearrange the energies.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just mention an experience I had yesterday and then maybe sit with you for a minute. But mm-hmm. I was at the farmer's market yesterday, and I think this has something to do with our healing class the day before, so I'm mm-hmm. going to have my experience there. I'll write about that. But yesterday I was walking through the market with my partner, and suddenly everything shifted, and it felt almost like it was part of this couple that was walking in front of me. And, you know, it was like just my knees basically gave out. I had to hold on to my partner. And it was like everything, everyone, I could just see the illusion. And it was very, very real that it wasn't real. None of it was real. And it was almost AI feeling, too, like all these people. And there was just nothing was real. And I'd stay, and then as this couple that were in front of me would walk a little ways, and then I started walking again. And as I got closer, some experience would happen again, and then again, and then again. And it was like, so I just stood there for quite a while, just experiencing it.
That's very interesting you're saying that. Yeah, do you have a question to that? But I could say a lot about it.
Well, actually, I would just listen to what you have to say about that. Yeah, it was very profound, and it's like, everything shifted. It was just like, and like my whole body, even the body shifted, right? Mm-hmm. Let alone everything else going on. So, Yes, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Okay, we're going to go more into this during the retreat, but I'm not sure if you're coming, but I'm just going to mention, what I can say is this, is that I actually had last week or something, I was, there's some steps between my two yards here, the two parts of my yards, and I basically just, you know, I'm pretty stable and I'm a very balanced person, but suddenly, like, I literally, fell. I ended up, you know, on the ledge of my gardening part where I have my some, you know, kale in it and all this, and I just didn't know. It's like the whole reality just slipped away from me. It's similar what you experience, and I had another experience briefly after that that indicated through my vision and my experience that we are unplugging ourselves from the AI. Think the Matrix is actually more a real. What's the word? More a documentary than actually a movie. So this feeling that you have about the AI, and you're giving me this feedback, and what I've been starting to see in the last 2 weeks gives me a sense that there is some real unplugging going on, which is crazy in some way, and at the same time really interesting to observe.
Yeah.
So how do you feel now? Do you feel freer?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like, yes, much freer and much more neutral most of the time. You know, there's still like emotion coming through, but it's just not being part of it. Like it felt so like, you know, my guy and I both are on the same track, thankfully. And so, I would say probably like 95% of the people I saw felt like, yeah, but the word matrix came into my mind when I was at the market too, of just like, I'm not part of this. Like I am, but I'm not, you know, like there's this feeling of disconnect yet knowing, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when we usually know about the matrix or we had experiences with the matrix or the clearing, it was mentally often. Like, that's how we started, right? Many of us, and they're here because you mentally pulled yourself out and you are beginning to stabilize and also clear the emotions around it, the programming, all that, that's sort of all left ancestrally, etc. But then there is the whole physical body. And the whole point of the matrix has to do with energy. I mean, it's all about energy, right? We are energy, self-generating energy beings. And if you're in an imbalanced, tyrannical victim matrix, well, the ones that are the victims are being siphoned off energies. And this is even done in the yogas and in the tantras in India, you know, where the young Lalitas from Lalita Tripura Sundari, the goddesses, and they're like, what, 10, 11, 10, 8, 9, 10 years old? My teacher told me about it, that they're basically, I'm not saying they were physically used, but energetically their Shakti was being used by the male, by male gurus or teachers or whatever they were. And so we have this whole like thing that goes on for aeons here, you know, where we basically now becoming conscious of the fact that our energy is ours and that we're unplugging ourselves. And physically, we can feel like, because the physical reality is all energy, there could be a glitch, right? Like what I experienced, I literally just fell backwards, sort of. Mm-hmm. And your legs gave out because you're realizing this whole, when you look at the body, it seems so real, but it's not really. It's all this energetic matrix, and it's a film. It's a movie. So I think this is some of these things that seem that we just kind of knew about, but are not directly experiencing.
Wow. Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly it. And I do feel freer in the sense of not involved, right? Like just not involved at all. That would be the word. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great.
Okay, thank
sharing.
You.
Thank you. Can we just for a moment?
Yeah. Yeah, just for a minute. Thank
okay. right. Thanks, Winona.
Thank you.
I'll let you go. Thank you. Okay, next is Mariana. Hi, Mariana.
Good morning. I would love to sit with you too, but I have a following on from what Winona was saying and what yourself was saying is last night as I was doing practice before I was going to sleep, I was contemplating, you know, the two sides of the coin, how we have this beautiful sacred practice, mm-hmm. You know, our devotion, and which sustains us and fulfills us and nourishes us. And then on the others, and it's so exquisite and so precious and you know, absolutely divine. And then on the other hand, there's this madness that's playing out in the world that is just so absolutely bizarre, that's changing its rules every single day. So it's just like an exact flip. Mm-hmm. And I was contemplating that, and then I sort of got up and I turned off, you know, our internet, because I have to turn it off at two different places, and I lay down. And I've noticed this before, but it's not until you were just speaking with Winona that I realized that as I lay down to go to sleep, something has lifted off my brain. So it's like what you were just saying, Ben, is this actually lift off, because I can actually feel it. You know, it's like this whole reality is just lifted off me.
You mean the Wi-Fi or?
It felt, it was very real last night. That's why I'm sharing it with you, because you're just sharing the same thing with Winona, or she was with you. It's like I can feel a lift off. It's like that whole AI is lifted off me, and it was so instantaneous, you know. And it's not the first time that I've noticed it. So, you know, thank you for the awareness.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean, the Wi-Fi is interconnected with the AI, but it's more than that. Even before we had Wi-Fi and we lived in rural times, maybe 200 years ago, it already existed. So it's, I think you know that, right? That's just not clarifying. But yes, it almost like got triggered and it became more clear about it.
Yeah. It completely off the crown, the whole crown chakra. That was, it was like a lift off. And as I was, and then I was doing my, I had been reading the hand practice. And so as I lay there, I started doing the hand practice, and I became so energized that I couldn't go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that before I go to bed anymore. So,
I know. Happens to me all the time.
That was beautiful. May I just sit with you?
Okay. Yeah, the great polarity of the beautiful practice and the crazy world. Yeah, just keep on going beyond it. None of it is, just throw it all away. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Sandra in Oregon. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I'm wondering if there is, well, I have two adult grown sons, and they live several hours away from me. And I'm just wondering if there is something that I could do, an energy that I can hold or a focus that would be supportive for them. Like, if it sort of, as I'm moving through my day,
when you are, yes, when we are in our core, when we are, I mean, in essence, really, when we're enlightened, we're good for everything, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are, let's say you think about your sons, because there is an attachment, and as you think about your sons, you just allow yourself to be in your core. You just really find your neutrality, let everything just flow through you. Then in that moment, that energetic link between the two of you becomes cleaned, you could say.
And, thank you.
Yeah, and they pick that up. They because they're unconsciously, physically, they're unconsciously responding to how you hold yourself because you have the power of the mother, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to hear what would be most supportive and not attached or yeah. Okay, thank you so much, and I would love to sit with you.
See, when we're sitting like this and you're moving just or experiencing yourself more and more just as presence, what we're doing here is to go beyond the program of mothering or mother. Because that's when you think about that or feel it, or when you feel it, you can feel it, there's a density to it. Can you sense that?
Yeah,
exactly. So that is actually a contraction and a prison for you. I mean, and so...
Yeah.
And going beyond the concept of mother itself, you become literally the divine mother. Next stage would be the divine mother, and then you go beyond the divine mother. So that would be the stages. But when you're the divine mother, you will not lose the mothering towards your children. In fact, it becomes even more real, and the love becomes much larger, and more wisdom perspective enters. So the easiest thing is always to give up whatever makes us kind of, you know, contracted, and then you go into a bigger space.
Thank you. That feels so much freer.
It does, right?
for everyone. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Adina.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks. Great question. We are here at 61450.
Hello, Aratina.
Hi.
It's Nadia.
Oh, Nadia, hey there. Okay. How are you?
Good, good. It's good to be able to be on the call. Yeah, I went back and listened to the first two that I was catching up on. From the first one, what I liked was to change the attachment to suffering. And from the call today, like that idea of unplugging and everything. So... yeah, just slowly going through the modules again, and really happy to be here. But I don't know if it's possible to sit with you and maybe plug into now have the
help
other,
you, yeah. I know what you want.
Yeah, is, thank you.
Yes, I know what you want.
It's early in the morning for us. I'm not happening yet.
No worries. I know what you want. Okay, so just allow yourself to be. Okay, there you go. Do you notice that?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You have quite a lot of light actually right now, but the light isn't really hooking up with your heart because your heart is involved in the world. And so that's where your suffering comes from. And we just need to align it a little bit. And it's sort of now you feel free, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely have that feeling. Thank you for getting what I was trying to say too.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Nadia. Okay. This is Antonia. Antonia, how are you doing?
Well, today I'm doing much better.
Okay.
For like 4 days, I was just like nothing. And I had a lot of pressure on my forehead. And so last night before I went to bed, I was like, oh, thank God tomorrow we have a phone call, so that way I can ask Karatima for some help. And then this morning, I was fine. No pressure.
Yeah, already happened, yeah.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And probably in the healing call. I don't know. But something that I just want to mention, I messaged you because I told you how the second module, when I open it, I mean, like, honest, like, I never heard anything that it was in it before.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was like, this is 5 years. What am I talking about?
Well, you really changed, right? So you have everything that you've learned through your left brain, or sort of like in that sort of 3D way, that's all erased because everything got illuminated. It's just like completely cleared. And that's good because everything becomes baggage, right? Even teachings become baggage. We can't go back home without anything in the backpack, you know? And so it's actually a good thing. So you're actually fresh and clean, and now you can actually go, when you listen and go through this year, you're going to go deeper and you become freer, you know? Because these are tools, they then basically become, I don't know, they just become useless after we've moved through them, right? And then but because the tools reach all the material reaches all the way back to source, you could say, when you throw them away 1 year and you come back the next year, you'll just all be totally new and you climb yourself back to source. And it's just a visual, but I think you know what I mean.
Wow. And then this morning I was, all of a sudden I had this really strong feeling in my heart to grab your book and start reading it.
Mm.
And also, I read quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read it so many times, but everything, it was brand new.
Mm.
Like you just finished writing it. I mean, it was like, oh my God, how many times have I read this book? Don't remember a thing. The only thing that obviously impressed me when I first read the book is that it says, when we are in our core, we are in peace, not in pieces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had it underlined, so obviously it impacted me then. And I was like, oh, beautiful. And so I'm just like a squeaky clean, like everything is brand new. Everything is brand new. So
that's good.
I'm enjoying it, but I was like, I hope she says something about that because it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Good.
And I just want to say it with you, please.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Very good. Good. Thanks, Antonia.
Thank you.
This is Jennifer, my last hand here. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good afternoon. Mm. I was wondering, how can you tell if, you know, I've had some anxiety all of a sudden come upon me, and how can you tell if it's your anxiety or the world's anxiety or maybe my neighbor's anxiety? I've been just like trying to figure that out.
Mm, good question. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, let's do this together. You're going to basically just kind of be kind of just here present, and it's sort of relaxing, right? So not having your mind try to figure it out. And then we're just going to ask. I'll ask for you. You can do this for yourself. I'm just going to ask. Or make more of a statement. I want to make a statement. I want to say that the anxiety you're feeling right now, Jennifer, is from the people around you in the world. And just feel how you respond. Just notice. Just notice.
My eyes seem like they wanted to scrunch together.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, and let's do the other one. Now, when I say this, the anxiety that you're noticing right now is your own anxiety. Just notice what happens.
My eyes aren't scrunching.
Okay. So,
and I'm calmer. And I'm calmer. You know,
calmer. You're calmer. Okay. Okay. So basically, it's like when I touched on the anxiety of the people, that the fact that you're sensing things around you, you can feel a stress, right? It's like, and then when you, when I say, but you know, let me say this here. Let me just do one more thing here. If I'm saying your name is Jennifer, does that feel calm?
My eye twitched a little bit, but it was fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
And if I say your name is Betty, how does it feel?
It doesn't. I didn't feel anything.
Okay. So basically, when something is true for you, you get sort of an energetic response. Your body's responding. And so then you can ask yourself sometimes, and then you will get some kind of response in the body, kind of reacts. It's always different for everybody, you know. I should have done first your name to kind of assess that, but I had already the feeling that it was more to do with the people around you. Now, when you know that the people around you are affecting you, then you can first of all, this knowing helps. You can basically, it's like, oh, this is not mine. This is the people around me. That in itself is already relaxing. And secondly, it's also you can tell yourself, I don't have to take care of everybody around me. I don't have to feel all this. I can be with my own self or with God or light and just be in that experience. And you can be in your own world, literally, and that's okay. So can you do that right now?
Okay.
Can you slip into yourself, into your own space more clearly?
And I just tell myself, I don't need to worry about my neighbors and take care of anything for them.
Yeah, sometimes that really helps me see that. Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really do think so, because I have a neighbor. She doesn't hardly come out, and I know this past summer I got really close to her, and my heart just went so fast. I thought it was going like and fluttering. I thought, what's the matter? And she touched me and did the same thing, and I thought, okay, so maybe it's something to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, sometimes, you know, we know that many people that are vaccinated have a certain effect on others. So if you're a little sensitive or something, but yeah, go to the place where you just stay in your own energy, and then it might help you to just say, I give this neighbor over to God. God takes care of this neighbor. I don't have to do it. You know, we don't have to fix everything. You know?
Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, awesome. Good. All right. Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay. And can I sit with you for a
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. As we're sitting together, Jennifer, just allow yourself to really be just in your field, and I am in my field, and we're just there together. We're together as individual sovereign beings. There you go. Good. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I have Kim here. Yeah, Kim.
Hi. Hi. I was wondering, can I just sit with you for a minute, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
can try to do some pranayama and some even fire breath or something. Do you notice the disturbances that are going on?
Yeah.
So just up your practice a bit, because like you don't look clean inside. Just need to clean more, and then you can, you know, you'll feel better.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I just feel like I'm. Yeah. I just feel like I'm.
How?
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I'll just do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is Danica. Hey, Danica.
Hi, Arachna. I was just wondering if I could also just sit with you, please.
Okay. Take a deep breath in, and when you breathe out, slip underneath the out breath. And just do in through your nose, out through your nose, and then when you at the end of the out breath, slip into the crack underneath the out breath. There, good. There you go, good. Let's do this two more times. Become that whatever is beyond that, whatever is in that crack beyond, become that, be that. There you go. Did you notice something changing?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe it?
I'm hot now, first of all. So I'm freezing. I'm in, like, under three blankets in bed. And I've, the last few days, I felt this really, like, numb nothingness. Like, I can't even engage at all. And I feel like that has cleared. Like, I felt sick, but I'm not sick. But that's how I felt.
Yeah, you weren't really in your body properly. So do that. Keep doing that, you know, whenever you like. It'll help you and identify. Well, really what we're doing is, you know, we're going actually beyond Earth into Source, the source of all physical existence. And it's like it's black, dark, silent. It can't describe it. Just go there and be it. It'll help you to come into your body again and properly.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay, we are Karen in Australia. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I would also just like to sit with you this morning. Thank you.
Okay. Bring attention to your heart and just almost visualize there a lotus or something and a light inside the lotus. And just kind of slip into that light and become it. noticing some difference.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We have Karen in 41623. Was that? No, that must be Linda. Or I'm not sure who that is. Who's that?
It's for? Pina.
Pina. Oh, that's you. Okay.
Hi.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. I'm finding that it's hard to formulate a question.
That's
I guess
good.
I've been sitting. I honestly enjoy it very much. It's kind of like being a child that is just like a sponge and just very involved and very agreeable and feeling very open. But somebody just said something and all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I think I should ask this. I have my partner. We have a great relationship. He has taken the vaccine and he kind of did it. In such a little bit of a sneaky way, because I thought we had an agreement to talk about it before, you know, either of us would consider actually doing it. And this was about a year ago. It was just a discussion. But he went ahead and did it and didn't talk about it. And anyway, so I kind of worked that out. But what I do find is, again, I don't have a question, but I've been feeling a lot. I feel a lot of what goes on around me. And
is it pleasant or unpleasant? Like, what does it do to you?
Well, this is what's happening. He is in Florida right now. He went for a few days. I decided not to go because of all the situation, and I'm not vaccinated. So I decided just to stay home with my dogs, and it's been wonderful. Now, I've had a few health issues with my ears, and I don't know if you remember, but it's very difficult for me to deal with all that. But since he's been gone, I've been better. I've been a lot better. And it kind of woke me up because there's been days where he goes to work and he's gone all day. And, you know, I can do my thing all day and I feel fine. I can deal with whatever my health is giving me that day. And I do good things and happy with the day. But as soon as he comes home, something happens. And it's very difficult for me to deal with what's happening in my body. I would say my nervous system kind of goes out of whack. So, you know, with the breathing today, lo and behold, I've been lately, I took on, it's called someone through the Navy SEAL that does these breathing techniques to breathe better, because I think that I have been feeling a lot of health issues because I'm not breathing properly. So in the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to do that exercise, and then you did this breathing today, and I feel really good. So,
yeah, you're correct.
What's my question? I don't know what my question is, but I do feel that my husband or my mate, the one that I love, I don't feel good when I'm around him. Is that true, or is that just something I need to work on?
Well, I have a few things that I can say and see what you can take from that. Is that, I mean, everybody has karma, right? And sometimes, you know, people come together and they're after a while, they go through different karmic events. And some, you know, and on the surface levels, some karmas can feel pleasant and play and fit really well with our karmas. And then sometimes, let's say we're together for a few years and somebody shifts into another karma, and then there's sort of a bit of a friction there. But that's on the surface. So if the relationship is based on love, which is a neutralizer, right? It's a great neutralizer. That field of love should deepen and make you, there's a sense of home that should really exist between two people. And yeah, sometimes it can be eclipsed by clouds and negativity, but it should be there. But if you are not comfortable and it's not physically comfortable for you, you know, then I mean, then it sounds to me like it's not even the right partner for you, because he's not making, because men, just remember, men, they have an electrical field. They influence a woman's field and everything. And they have the ability to reset a woman, actually. I mean, in Kundalini Yoga, it is taught and said that if a woman ever had sex and she's not a virgin and she had sex, she was open, she should at least once a month be visited by her partner, because otherwise it acts to correct and hold and everything in place, like the hormones, the energetic field and all this. So the man's role is quite powerful because he's a stabilizer and the woman is like water constantly moving. So if your partner is causing too much movement or movement in a way that doesn't make you physically well, there's a problem there. And it's not your fault, and it's not, and you're not crazy. That's my point here. So you trust your experience, right? It's really real. So yeah, let's say there's two chances here, right? You love him. You say, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm going to become a true yogi here, and I'm going to grow so much in love and become fully independent, where I can be around anybody, sort of. And I'll just use this as my yoga, and I'm going to just keep loving all this, love my discomfort, love him, love all of that. That's one choice. The other choice is that to have your truth, whatever your truth tells you, might say a more balanced approach is needed, and it might not be the right person to be with all the time or at all, you know. So that's sort of, I don't know what kind of, how that sounds to you right now.
Well, the first one you said, you know, becoming a better yogi and, you know, loves using this as a teacher, as mm-hmm. teaching. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I could say, honestly, that I've been doing that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My contribution to this relationship has been pretty much that.
Mm.
But now with a health issue that is still isn't clear, but I'm fine, but he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about that. Like, to actually say, I'm sorry, you're not good for me.
I know you're a good person. I know.
I don't know how to feel.
How you feel is what you're feeling. You don't have to decide how to feel. You are feeling what you're feeling. You are allowing. Mm-hmm. Check just what is it that you're feeling.
If I were to meet him today for mm-hmm. the first time, and I am where I am,
mm-hmm.
I never would have married him.
Mm.
That's the honest truth. But because we've been together for so long and so much, you know, I've grown, you know, but yeah. I probably still would have grown anyway, because I'm, you know, very different. We're like so opposite. I'm spiritual. He didn't even know what that word meant.
You know, it's something that many, many people experience right now. And it is a fact that mainly women are evolving right now, and men seem to still kind of dig their heels in. And so this is, you're probably one of many, many women that are going through this right now. And especially with the decision of, you know, taking the vaccine or not, it makes it even more polarized. And
yeah, that hurt. Well, I'm going to just shoot this out. If you were in a situation like this today with everything that's going on, what would you do?
Oh, me personally? Oh, I've left yeah. many relationships and I just walked away. I walk away from anything. It doesn't even matter what it is. It could be.
So this is attachment then?
Yeah, it's all attachment. It's also promises, because you see, you made a vow. Vows, you, when you married, you made a vow, and very, very deep in your psyche, we need to actually, just in general, like I have, this is just a suggestion, because when we become fully free, there can't be any vows, no promises, nothing, because it all has to do with binding and time. So you have to clear your vows that you made out of a place of 3D consciousness, so that you become fully free and choose to be only your true sovereign self, one with God, whatever you want to call it. And then from there, wisdom and actions flow out, and guilt and shame and programming, all that will come up too, because, you know, how is the other respond? Like, all that kind of human stuff. But on this path here in WS, you'll have to meet all the stuff anyway. It doesn't even matter if you separate or not. All that needs to be cleared up, all of it.
Well, clearing it up sounds wonderful. I just wonder if my body needs to move somewhere else. You know.
Well, that you know, it's not separate, right? Your body is we may make a separation between body, mind, and spirit, but just think of just that your body is a projection of how you see the world and where you live and all this. So as you change within, then the world around you will just naturally change. You'll just naturally move somewhere or dress differently or eat differently. It'll all just happen naturally. That, because this is what we said, Antonia, when we are in the core, we are at peace and we're not in pieces. We still think in pieces, right? My body is separate from me and all that. And we use this as a teaching tool and a practice because it appears and it is very real that we feel separate. But we are beginning to have more and more an experience of really that there's none of that. None of that.
May I take a moment and sit with you?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you for your everything that you said.
You're welcome. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Kuna. Yeah. Okay, so let's do a quick exercise towards the end here, just for a moment. We are in this module where we're learning to concentrate. We begin to pull back, just what we did with the pranas, the energies to the breath, to pull things into center. So I know that we're all in different places and probably also indoors and all that. So let's just do something with closed eyes. And just close your eyes. And then just sort of in front of you somewhere, you can visualize. Let's see what comes to you, what we should do here. Okay. Let's visualize like the flame of a candle. Just a light. And just kind of look at it. So it's a bit more difficult because you have to imagine it and then look at it. You're just holding it there. And you're going to be putting even and equal attention, equal weight on the flame and on the light around it. Sort of the halo of the flame. That's it, beautiful. Just gonna do another 30 seconds, just see it. If it starts morphing, just bring back your attention to the vision you created. Okay, just stop. Take a deep breath. Okay, so short. Now, just a few words, you know, because you probably, I know, have everybody has different experiences. If it's hard to see the image, sometimes a lack of energy, tiredness, lack of concentration, you tune your mind to emotional. If everything shifts and moves, it's also distraction of pranas. You can tell pranas are just destroying the image. You can't hold it together. We're really using literally astral fire, astral energy to create an image. very real, right? You know, through healing and everything we do, we have different realities of different densities, and it's very real. And we can actually create things in this way, but it creates also, it needs energy. So this is my main point is more about the concentration right now, to really put your attention on something, to decide, to hold it, and to gaze at the flame and at the halo at the same time. And then to basically decide when to, you know, let it all go and the image disappears. So let's do one more time the same thing. Just, you know, when I do it again, like for 30 seconds, let's start. Close your eyes and just see the flame of the halo. Equal weight on seeing both. You need to use your will. Okay, just let go, relax. And I know will is always sometimes an issue, right? We want to start doing certain practices, we want to do this, but then, you know, we procrastinate or we just feel weak and life just upon us. The winds of time take over. So this is always the challenge, right? So I encourage you to do concentration practices, you know, with a real object, like a plant or the symbols that I gave you, or anything that's natural and good and holy, and it'll be really useful and as you keep going forward. So I want to end the day today. Thanks for all the sharing and being here today. I wish you a wonderful week, and I will be back after the retreat. We have a retreat coming up, so the next WS call, I think, will be after the retreat, a little bit more towards the end of the month. So one wonderful week, and namaste. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.